Picking up where we left off, fourth question that came in this month, October, reads, "Hi, Daryl. I really resonate with your message, especially when you indicate that each of us is a unique expression and we aren't all going to hold hands and sing the same song. This resolves a lot of feelings of conflict for me, as I was suffering, thinking I have to try to get along with everyone. However, I have noticed this doesn't seem to be very popular in the non-dual community. There seem to be many messages about controlling feelings of conflict and saying yes to everything. Many speakers don't seem to allow any room for no. And if there are feelings of conflict, we are meant to get rid of them, as we won't somehow evolve as a species. There seems to be a lot of conditioning, especially in America, about the need to be positive about everything. I have also seen a recent post by a speaker talking about the Occupy movement that is happening across the world, saying that the only way it would succeed is if they also support the bankers and corporations they are protesting. Isn't this unrealistic to think that a movement will agree with everyone, even the ones they see as the aggressors? And doesn't it imply that somehow positive thinking or eradicating feelings of conflict will eradicate world conflict? Do they mean that we are in control of our lives and that there is such a thing as evolution? Isn't conflict a legitimate natural expression of our bodies, minds, and nature?" So let's begin with the last question in this person's writing. The last question is, isn't conflict a legitimate natural expression of our bodies, minds, and nature? So from a non-dual perspective, yes, it would have to be. First of all, it would be only apparent conflict because the happening of this moment isn't anything that can be explained in any way whatsoever. So we can't ultimately say it's something called conflict, but in our storylines, what we apparently call conflict would have to be a natural expression of existence, because from a non-dual perspective, there is only the expression of existence. There's nobody distorting that. There's nobody creating that. There's nobody who can stop that. There is simply this totally inexplicable, ever-shifting flow that we call existence, the happening, the vital dynamic, the vital occurrence of this moment, the pulsing, vibrating, moving, shifting, sounding, silencing, lightning, darkening, happening of this moment. There is just this big, undivided happening that we call existence, or life, or the universe, or the Great Spirit. It doesn't really matter what you call it, it's just pointing to this happening. And as, I don't know who said this originally, but I like this phrase, there is no duality in non-duality. So this is just making it very blunt. From a non-dual expression, there's just a totally mysterious event presenting itself. All of the storylines of one thing influencing some other thing or a person influencing something, these are fantasy. There is just a happening doing what it does. So yes, from that perspective, conflict would be a legitimate natural expression of whatever this is. It would be the legitimate natural expression of our apparent bodies, minds, and our apparent nature. So, from that perspective, there's no problem anywhere. Life presents itself the way it presents itself. It's a totally mysterious event that's entirely on automatic. Everything happens spontaneously or automatically, and that includes everything that you think you are and everything that you think anything else is, all of that is a totally inexplicable event. It has no particular form. It simply presents itself. It's all on automatic. There can't possibly be anything wrong with it right now, because it's just a happening. It's a happening presenting itself. There is no one influencing it in any way. There is no one who could take it in the wrong direction. There is no way that it could be a mistake. And yes, that doesn't seem to be very popular within the apparent non-dual community, because as far as I can tell, any connection I've had with the non-dual community thus far, the vast majority of apparent beings within the non-dual community want control. They somehow think that existence has gone in the wrong direction, and they're looking to find their happiness by finding some kind of control, by finding some kind of absolute understanding that will allow them to sidestep all of the apparent conflict and difficulties. And the fact of the matter is, there isn't any truly non-dual teaching that offers you the possibility of control. It doesn't even offer you the possibility of describing yourself as something that's actually existing. It doesn't offer you the possibility of giving yourself any particular form or any particular ability. From a non-dual perspective, every so-called thing is simply a totally indefinable event spontaneously presenting itself or automatically presenting itself. It's not happening through anyone's efforts. From this perspective, all of our efforts, all of our so-called urges and abilities and efforts, those are also the expression of this larger inexplicable happening. It's simply the movement of nature or the movement of the Great Spirit, the river of life, the unformed ocean of existence, God, Tao, Atman, whatever you want to call it. So I would simply agree with this observation from this person that it isn't a very popular notion in the non-dual community that this apparent conflict is already the divine expression. It's already the pure and natural expression of existence. Because what most apparent people really want is control, and they do want to think positively all the time. So this seems to be simply the apparent expression of human beings. That apparent human beings want a nice, warm, fuzzy little story that they can tell themselves. And you can see this in manifestations such as Disneyland or the movies that the world of Disney put out, because they want to put out a warm, fuzzy storyline, in which case there is always a happy ending. Now, this isn't a realistic depiction of existence, but it's what people want in general. And I really don't know what more to say about that. I mean, that's a totally legitimate expression of existence. These apparent people wanting this warm, fuzzy storyline, that is a totally legitimate expression of existence, in the same way that there are apparent individuals who want to acknowledge existence the way it presents itself. Now, the ones who want the warm, fuzzy storyline, they know there are difficulties in their lives. They just don't want to pay much attention to them. They don't want to focus on that aspect of existence. There are apparent others who apparently want to have an apparent focus on the full range of life's expression. And that's just the way it is. A couple of other aspects of this particular question that has been sent in is, this idea of positive thinking, of always saying, of trying to eradicate feelings of conflict. The question is, isn't this realistic? Well, from my perspective, yes, it's not realistic. From my perspective, from my apparent perspective, existence is simply a totally mysterious event doing what it does, but there are apparent others with different perspectives, and there are those who have the feeling that they are in charge of existence, or they have the belief that they are in charge of existence, and that it is totally possible to eradicate all feelings of conflict. It's totally possible to have everyone be positive all the time. And that's not my perspective, but that is the perspective of certain apparent others. And all of that is a totally legitimate expression of existence. The question isn't which is the right one. The question is, which one do you relate to? Which one makes sense to you? So I don't really think there's anything more that I can respond to within this question. Again, from a non-dual perspective, we're not trying to reach the one true understanding of existence, because a non-dual perspective is saying there is no ultimate understanding of existence, or there is no basic understanding of existence at all. It's simply a totally mysterious event presenting itself, and we're not trying to put forth the one true way of living, because it's simply acknowledging that each and every apparent individual is a unique expression, in the same way that all expressions of nature are unique. No two snowflakes are the same. No two leaves are the same. I was just listening to the radio yesterday. I was apparently listening to the radio yesterday, and they had a story about how they're feeling that in the future, to identify us, what they will do is have a camera trained on the way we walk. And the way each and every person walks is so unique that they can identify a person simply by the way they walk. So when we go through an airport in the future, it's likely that what will happen is, as we approach the customs agent, a camera will be photographing, or a movie camera will be scanning our walking, and it will identify exactly who we are out of the entire world population. And if that's who we say we are, we simply walk right on through. So each of us is a unique expression, and a non-dual acknowledgement of that isn't going to tell anyone what they're supposed to be. It will simply point out that each of us is a compulsive expression of this indefinable event of existence. It's the compulsive movement or dance of this indefinable event. Why is it compulsory? Because there isn't any option to it. There is only this dance. The storylines of someone influencing the dance are a fantasy from this perspective. So ultimately, we're not, from a non-dual perspective, we're not looking for the one true way of approaching life. We're not looking for the one true understanding of life. It's simply saying, there is a totally inexplicable event presenting itself. It's spontaneous. It's automatic. There isn't anyone influencing it. And it will play out in whatever way it plays out. So the only question is, what are you compelled to do? And no one else can tell you what you're compelled to do. No one else can tell you how you're compelled to understand existence or relate to existence. It's all on automatic. So a fifth question that has come in reads, "Hello, Daryl. I met you today on Conscious TV. I am in full agreement with your expression of what is apparently going on. A question that persistently arises for me is, what, if anything, will appear after the death of this apparent body? I would appreciate hearing anything that you have to say in response to this question. Thank you." Okay, the question is, what, if anything, will appear after the death of this apparent body? My only response to this is, I don't really know what's happening in this moment, so I don't really know what's going to be happening in any other moment. In my own apparent consideration of death, the only thing that seems pertinent to me is the fact that when I apparently go to sleep at night, I don't have the sense of experiencing anything. The whole event of existence simply winds down and ceases to occur. Now, in deep sleep, I don't have the sense of me existing. I don't have any worries. There's no consideration of life in any way whatsoever. So my own sense of sleep is an incredible sense of rest. And it's actually quite a wonderful, you know, the feeling of falling into a deep sleep is quite a wonderful thing. Now, in what we call deep sleep, I'm not having any feelings whatsoever. There isn't any awareness of anything, really. So that's my sense of going to sleep. It doesn't seem frightening. It doesn't seem anything that I have to be worried about. And my sense of death is that if deep sleep leaves me with this sense of nothing to be concerned about or no existence to deal with, death isn't going to offer me something else. It isn't going to offer me something more. The impression is that death is like a deeper sleep. Also, nothing to worry about. Because fundamentally, the sense of what I am is not this body. The sense of what I am is this larger event of existence. And that presents itself as both the sense of existing and non-existing. This larger event, this larger mysterious happening, contains both this small sense of existing and small sense of not existing. But the larger mysterious event, I can't even think of that in terms of when it began or when it's going to end. It's just a totally mysterious happening. I mean, in some ways, I see it as the entire universe. In some ways, I see it as just the dance of this moment. But in either case, it's a totally mysterious, forceful, driving, lively, vital occurrence. And the notion of death doesn't even apply to this. So, in both this small sense of me being an apparent body, death is not something that's frightening because it just seems to be a deep sleep that we fade into. And as I grow older and my friends are growing older, the notion of death becomes less frightening for many of us because the body gets tired. And the notion of being so tired that we will just melt into this deep sleep doesn't seem frightening in any way whatsoever. And from this larger sense of existence, which seems to be more the fundamental happening, the whole notion of death makes no sense whatsoever. This force of existence, this force of the universe, this lively, vital occurrence of existence, I can't even begin to think of it in terms of a beginning or an ending. Those terms are just too small to even relate to that mysterious happening and the vitality of that happening. Death just doesn't really have any kind of bearing on that. When is the universe going to end? It just doesn't make any sense. The universe doesn't seem as though it's going to end. God doesn't seem as though God is going to end. There's just the impression that whatever this is will go on playing the way it's always playing. It will simply go on presenting itself as the great formless, inexplicable happening that it is. And that's just pointing to an event that can't be considered in any way whatsoever. So those are my only responses to a consideration of death. So let's move on. This next question reads, "Hi, Daryl. Many teachings attempt to illuminate the non-dual nature of reality as the common ground of our experience. Yet for most people, it is nevertheless duality and separation that is the common denominator of this experience. Although one can readily acknowledge the formless, ever-changing nature of life, this acknowledgement has little impact on the core sense of self that we call me. While it can easily be seen that the forms of our bodies, our interests, our concerns, etc., are all continually changing, what remains more or less constant in our everyday life experience is this sense of me, located somehow in or as this body, and which is separate from all other bodies and the world at large. Is this division real, actual? If it is real, can it be overcome? Is the inclination to overcome it valid, or does that attempt, in whatever form it takes, only serve to perpetuate the very division it seeks to end? If the division is not real, if it is merely some kind of illusion, then clearly all attempts to overcome it will be both ineffective and unnecessary. If the rattlesnake on the ground in front of you is really just an old piece of rope, then no action is called for. But the problem is, we perceive a snake. We feel and perceive ourselves to be separate individuals." At the end of last month's questions and answers, you discussed this predicament, saying that the sense of self, or the appearance of separation, duality, and division, is simply one of the many unique expressions of undivided nature, and while this expression is often unpleasant, there is no one there that can influence its movement for better or worse. The effect of that statement may temporarily impart a degree of psychological relaxation in daily life, but it does not seem to shake the unyielding sense of me and the corresponding fragmentation and division of life that flows from it. Your comment is greatly appreciated. Thank you." Before I go into the individual points in this question, perhaps I can just paraphrase the predicament here. Even though we can intellectually understand that forms don't actually exist, and even though we can intellectually understand that we have no particular form, what we call me or I, has no fundamental form because our bodies, our moods, our thoughts, and all of that are shifting and changing, and Even though we can intellectually understand that the universe has no particular form, and so we can intellectually understand that it's all just one big unformed event, the fundamental feeling is that we are something separate from existence. And as this person points out, often the case is that we fundamentally have the feeling that we're something inside this body looking out, something that is separate from the rest of existence, something that's even separate from the movement itself, a so-called somebody or a me or an I that is observing the event. So the fundamental feeling is still that we're somehow separate. And the question is, you know, is it possible to overcome that basic feeling? Is that sense of separation real? And if it is, if it isn't real, is there some way of fundamentally overcoming that sense of separation? So here we come to what might be termed a fundamental aspect of a non-dual perspective or non-dual teaching, is that that non-dual teaching generally presents itself with two components. First of all, there's an intellectual consideration of what our experience is. So we look at the fact that we all acknowledge that everything is changing, and as this person points out, it can easily be seen that the forms of our bodies, our interests, our concerns are all continually changing. But then the sense of me that is somehow felt to be in this body, which is separate from all the other bodies in the world at large, that continues. Or, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself here. A non-dual perspective is usually presented in a couple of different ways, or with a couple of different components. The first component is an intellectual consideration of what our experience actually is. And in that intellectual consideration, we come to realize that there's a fundamental difficulty in our views of existence. So that on one hand, we consider life in terms of form, and yet our actual experience is that all things are changing, and therefore they don't fundamentally have any particular form. So there's that intellectual consideration. And to consider that in this way is an important entry into this non-dual perspective. But the other aspect of it is that we actually get some kind of gut-level, visceral feel for the movement that existence is. And that that is an automatic movement. It is a spontaneous movement. It is presenting itself all on its own. And that existence itself is simply a formless event happening on its own. And that gut-level sense of it, that visceral feel for that, the feel of that movement or that dance, that doesn't come through an intellectual investigation. It comes through what traditionally might be called meditation. But even in the non-dual community, where really there isn't much emphasis put on meditation in a lot of cases, we're asked to simply acknowledge the happening of the moment and perhaps come to feel the buzz and tingle of the moment, the buzz and tingle and dancing, moving, shifting event of the moment, the sounds coming and going, the vibrations, the pulsations, the moods rising and shifting and passing away, the thoughts coming and going, this moving, shifting event of the moment. Now, I don't know of anyone who lives with one constant impression of existence, one constant feeling of existence. So I don't know of anyone, past or present, whoever lived constantly in an oceanic, the same oceanic feeling of existence. The presentation of existence is always moving and shifting in some way. Now, the question here, is it possible to overcome the feeling of separation? Now, I can only speak from my own sense of existence. And I would say that it's not possible to overcome it, but if we explore existence, if we explore what our actual experience is, then we can begin to question what is meant by the word me. We can begin to consider that the word me is merely a pointer. If we say the words out there, or we say the words the world, then we point away from what our apparent body is. But if we use the word me, we're merely pointing towards this apparent happening that we call the body and the brain. Now, if we sit and do absolutely nothing, this event that we call the body and brain present themselves. The event that we call the body and mind simply presents itself. There is simply this happening that we call the body and mind. And if there's an exploration, an apparent exploration of this event, all that's discovered is a moving, shifting, dancing event. Nowhere is there any experience of anything observing this. Now, that may seem vague in this event of the moment. So we can go to an exploration that is more specific. We could take an exploration that Douglas Harding presented, in which case you take a paper bag with an opening that's large enough to fit over your face, and maybe the paper bag is a foot deep. We cut the bottom out of the paper bag, and we have this situation where we seem to be looking down the paper bag. I seem to be looking down the paper bag out the other end at the world out there. So now we take that actual happening and we investigate it. Or there is this apparent investigation of this seeing. There is the feeling that there is something in the head looking out through the eyes down the paper bag at a world out there. If we take that actual event and we explore it, or there is this apparent investigation of this event, and the attention, first of all, we look at the world out there, beyond the end of the paper bag. We look out that opening at the end of the paper bag, and there's the world. We could look at a chair, or we could look at a desk, or whatever. That's fine. So that's the object of seeing. Then we can allow the attention to come back to the paper bag, and we allow the attention to move closer and closer towards our apparent face at this end of the paper bag. And what will become very obvious is that this happening that we call seeing is an event that basically starts where our face starts, our apparent face starts. We don't have any experience of anything behind that. It becomes very obvious that there is absolutely no experience of anything behind that. There is simply this event that we call seeing. So that would be one way of exploring this sense of separation in more detail. Now, is it possible with this kind of exploration to overcome the feeling of separation? In some apparent situations, it apparently is. In certain apparent people, that sense of separation melts. That doesn't mean they never have a thought about being separated. It's just, ultimately, they don't believe that that thought is the truth. There is more the fundamental sense that there is simply one great happening, simply happening. Now, is that possible in all apparent cases to overcome that feeling of separation? Apparently not. And from this non-dual perspective, it's not necessary that that feeling of separation be overcome totally. From a non-dual perspective, there is simply this great mysterious event playing out in whatever way it does. So getting into the specific questions within this person's writing, is this division real or actual? Well, if we consider the situation intellectually, if we consider the fact that our general experience of existence is that everything is moving and shifting and changing, and if we consider the fact that none of us has ever really experienced a me that is separate from this event, all that's ever presented is the event, all that's ever evident is the event, there is never any experience of an owner of the event, so intellectually it can't be real. The next question he has here is, if it is real, can it be overcome? Well, if it was real, why would you want to overcome it? I mean, if it was real, you wouldn't be able to overcome it because it's the reality. The next question is the inclination to overcome it valid? Or does that attempt, in whatever form it takes, only serve to perpetuate the very division it seeks to end? Well, if this separation is real, it won't be overcome. And if it's not real, if there is no me in charge of existence, if there is no me that's actually owning existence or moving existence, does the attempt to overcome it only serve to perpetuate the very division it seeks to end? Yes, because if there is no actually no me separate from existence, then the whole notion of me attempting to overcome it, overcome the sense of separation, simply holds in place the idea that there's a me separate, a me that can control existence. So really, you know, another aspect of this question that he has is, if the division is not real, if it is merely some kind of illusion, then clearly all attempts to overcome it will be both ineffective and unnecessary. If the rattlesnake on the ground in front of you is really just an old piece of rope, then no action is called for. But the problem is we perceive a snake. And so here's the essential element of this, is that we perceive a me separate from existence, or we think we perceive. That would be a better way of putting this. We think and believe that we perceive a me that's separate from existence, when in actuality, there isn't any perception of that. There isn't any actual me that is experienced as being separate from existence. And in order to see this clearly, there would have to be some kind of exploration of the moment. And really, all that would require is the moment expressing itself and a simple acknowledgement of what's actually being expressed. So we sit down, we do absolutely nothing, and acknowledge, do we really have an experience of something separate from this moment? A me that is owning the event, or is there only the event? The moving, shifting, dancing event that we call me. From this non-dual perspective, it's not a matter of overcoming anything or denying anything. It's a simple acknowledgement of what the experience actually is, the experience of the moment actually is. Now we can consider it intellectually, looking at the fact that we have the impression that all things are changing. And it can be considered from a visceral gut level event, in which case we do absolutely nothing, and the happening of the moment just happens. It becomes obvious that it's moving and shifting and changing. There is a visceral feeling of this movement, this dance. And there is an acknowledgement that there is never any experience of a thing watching this. We can consider perhaps that what we call seeing or what we call awareness is simply the happening of this moment. And what we call the object of awareness is also simply the happening of this moment. But there is never any experience of something that's separate from this happening. There is only the happening. Again, all of this is simply for your consideration. Whatever this is will play out in whatever way it does. So another question that's come in reads, "Hi Daryl, I have listened to your October Answers podcast 3 times now. It is such a good one. It is interesting to see that quantum physics is along the same lines as non-duality. What you said at the end of this response about wanting control, about non-dual seekers wanting control, is just where I'm at. Your words stop me in my tracks, so to speak. I have been listening to non-dual speakers for about 2 years now, and there is no doubt of some change of perspective here. I have occasional flashes of another reality, and then I'm right back in my story. I have been seeking for many years and begin to wonder if I am still seeking to be in control of my life, which is how I started out, even though through non-duality I have seen the futility of me. I would be grateful for any comments you have." So, my comment in last month's talk was basically that spiritual seekers fundamentally are looking for control of existence. You know, initially we might want to find some method or technique in order to control our emotions, in order to maintain some constant clarity about existence, some constant calm, or some kind of bliss-filled experience. And so, you know, maybe initially seekers come to spiritual practices hoping that they're going to get that kind of control. And it may become apparent that they won't have ultimate control over existence. But there's still essentially some hope that we're going to understand life in a certain way. And in that way, we'll achieve some kind of control. Because basically, life is an event that presents itself in a lot of apparently unpleasant ways. And all of us at some point would really love to step out of it, to get away from it, to avoid the difficult expressions of existence. And within a spiritual quest, initially the quest is to find some way of stepping out of the presentation of life. We want to discover that we're something nebulous. We want to discover that we're something bigger, that we're something more exotic, God, Brahma, Atman, whatever. We want to discover that we are the Great Spirit, and we want to discover that in order to avoid life's difficult expressions. We don't want the pain. We don't want the confusion. We don't want the uncertainty. We'd like to know exactly what's going to happen 2 minutes from now, or even 1 second from now, so that we don't have to be worried. And we would like to find out that 2 minutes from now, everything's going to be golden and glowing, it's going to be this nebulous dance, so that it never presents anything difficult. It never presents anything painful. But ultimately, the spiritual teachings that I know of, the apparent spiritual teachings that I know of, and that includes a non-dual teaching, is basically pointing out that life's a compulsory event. We don't exist as anything apart from the event. And this event is presenting itself. So the situation as it exists right now, this presentation with its pleasant aspects, its unpleasant aspects, its moments of clarity, its moments of confusion, its moments of joy, its moments of sorrow, that is the divine expression. Ultimately, within a spiritual quest, if we're drawn to this non-dual sensibility, if we're expressed in that way, any hope of influencing this movement of life in any way dissipates. There is only this dance. It's all on automatic. The pain and the pleasure both are the divine expression, and it will play out in whatever way it plays out. The freedom, the apparent freedom that comes from a non-dual realization, does not come in always having pleasant moments. It doesn't come in somehow gaining an understanding that transforms life into a constantly pleasant event. The freedom comes with the realization that it will play out in whatever way it plays out, and there is no way to influence that in any way whatsoever. And so in that, there is an appreciation of the moments that are pleasant, and there is a simple enduring of the moments that are unpleasant, knowing that it's always moving and shifting and will move on to something else at some point. It's also the case of realizing that however we apparently respond to it is fine. If we get totally whacked out, totally distraught, that's also the divine expression of existence. If we remain calm in certain situations, that's also the divine expression of existence. However our apparent life plays out is already the divine expression. It's not a situation that everyone who has this apparent realization is going to become calm all the time, or apparently calm all the time. Actually, no one will be calm all the time. From this non-dual sensibility, the happening of existence is always moving and shifting in some way. It has no particular form. It is a formless dance. So if we're looking to non-duality, if we're looking to a non-dual teaching to give us some ultimate understanding of existence or any control of existence at all, we're looking in the wrong place. A non-dual teaching doesn't offer that in any way. A non-dual teaching says there is no duality in non-duality. There isn't anything separate from the event of life that could influence the movement of life. There is simply the formless, inexplicable dance of existence. The Great Spirit, the unformed ocean of existence, the Asankhita, the flow of nature, the river of life. There is only that. And if we relate to that sense of existence, if there is that sense of existence, there is an ultimate freedom in that in a sense of relaxation, a sense of rest. In the fact that this event of life will play out in whatever way it plays out, and we are simply a portion of that presentation, so that life thus far, our life thus far, no matter what it seems to have been, it may seem to be the journey of a particular person coming to a particular understanding, all of that has been the automatic expression, the spontaneous expression of something that can't be understood in any way whatsoever, a mysterious formless dance presenting itself the way it presents itself. It never has been a particular person fighting their way through confusion to come to some place of clarity. It's always a totally mysterious dance expressing itself. And so the sense of struggle can come to rest in that mysterious event, in the fact that it simply presents itself and always has been presenting itself. Anyway, that's all that this particular question brings up at this moment. So moving on to the final piece that has been sent in. It reads, "Hi Daryl, I hope you don't mind if I ask a question. Is it fair to say that our essential nature is whatever is happening, and the apparent quietness at night or in moments of silence is then the activity and hurly-burly of everyday life at other times? Essentially, there is no background silence to what is happening in life. The background silence, when not silent, is the activity of our everyday lives. I have spent many years attempting to live in the now, be the space in which everything happens, and bring a higher dimension into my life, but it seems to me that it is doomed to failure. I would really appreciate your perspective on this." So, to begin with, his question is it fair to say that our essential nature is whatever is happening? And yes, from this non-dual perspective, whatever is happening is essentially what you are, and that happening has no particular form. Whatever it seems to be now is moving on to something else, to some other apparent thing. So, as he points out, the apparent quietness at night or in moments of silence is the activity and hurly-burly of everyday life at other times. Yes, exactly. This formless event of this moment appears to be busyness or hurly-burly, the hurly-burly of everyday life, the activity of everyday life, and then at other times it seems to be the restful moments of the evening, or it seems to be passing moments of silence. The event itself has no particular form, and whatever it seems to be in this moment is moving on to something else. So if you attempt to hang on to the moments of silence, you will be frustrated because it moves on to moments of busyness. Now he goes on to comment that essentially there is no background silence to what is happening in life. And he's asking, is the background silence, is that when it's not silent, is it the activity of our everyday lives? So this reference to a background silence, I'm not sure where this comes from. This must come from, he must have listened to some teaching that is saying there is a background silence to existence. Now, this phrase, background silence, within a non-dual perspective, it's not saying that you're going to come to some ongoing silence. That reference to background silence, there's often often this non-dual perspective is presented in terms of reality being found in silence, but it's not pointing to something that is the absence of sound. What falls silent is a certain struggle with life, so that once it's realized that our essential nature is the event of existence, there is only this mysterious happening, there isn't anything other than that happening, and that that happening is on automatic. It's automatically presenting itself the way it presents itself, and that our apparent life, what seemed to be the life of a person struggling with existence, a person struggling to find understanding, a person struggling to gain some clarity and hang on to that clarity, that's the realization that that storyline is not true, that fundamentally this is a totally mysterious event just presenting itself in this way, that it has no particular form, that this is the way it moves, this is the way it shifts, this is the way it presents itself. In that realization, in the realization that there is just this totally mysterious happening of this moment, doing what it does, it's happening automatically, spontaneously, and that we, everything we are, is also a totally mysterious event just happening automatically. In that realization, there is a resting of that struggle. There is no longer an attempt to find some ultimate understanding or explanation of existence. These things fall silent. So, if an apparent non-dual teacher is saying that there is a background silence to existence, that's the silence. It's the silencing of this struggle. It's the silencing of any attempt to explain existence. It's the silencing of any attempt to force existence to go in a particular direction, because the realization is there is only a totally inexplicable happening presenting itself. Some moments, physically, it seems to be silence. There is the absence of sound. And at other times, it seems to be physically very loud. At moments, there is a silencing of physical activity, and in other moments, apparent the apparent hurly-burly of everyday life, the incredible activity of daily life. There is that moving, shifting, formless presentation. The happening has no particular form. Now, if that's realized, that it simply presents itself automatically, there is nothing separate from that event that is ever evident. There is this totally mysterious, formless dance presenting itself automatically or spontaneously. There is an incredible sense of rest. It just happens the way it happens. This person concludes with the statement, I have spent many years attempting to live in the now, be the space in which everything happens, and bring a higher dimension into my life, but it seems to me that it is doomed to failure. And from a non-dual perspective, yes, that is doomed to failure. This attempt to live in the now is doomed to failure because from a non-dual perspective, there is only the now. There is only the happening of this moment. Whatever presents itself is living in the now. Nothing else is evident other than the happening of this moment. He says, I have spent many years attempting to be the space in which everything happens. Well, there really isn't any space in which everything happens. There is just the happening. We don't actually experience a space in which it happens. There is simply the happening, and what we call space is just a presentation of the happening. So the attempt to become a space, some kind of special space in which everything happens, that's doomed to failure because there is just this mysterious event, and what we call space is simply one little aspect of this mysterious happening. There is just the happening. It has no explanation. It has no particular form. If you see a space in front of you and you put a cement block there, there's no longer any space there. What we call space is simply a portion of this happening. What we call a thing is simply a portion of this happening. Space is just another thing that's identified as a portion of this happening. Space itself is a moving, shifting, formless event. The planets moving through apparent space, when they're in one apparent position, there is space next to it. But if they move into that space, that space stops, and what used to be a thing, an apparent planet, is now space, where it used to be. The space itself is a moving, shifting event, presenting itself. It has no particular form. What we call space is merely an aspect of this apparent happening. He also says, I have spent many years attempting to bring a higher dimension into my life. What higher dimension could there possibly be? From a non-dual perspective, there is only the Great Spirit. There is only a totally formless, indefinable happening. Happening. It's just the happening of this moment. There is no higher dimension to existence. What we think is a world filled with people is a totally mysterious dance that has no explanation. It's a totally miraculous event presenting itself, a magical dance of ever-changing appearances. It's already that. That can't be explained in any way whatsoever. It has no dimensions whatsoever. It is unformed. It is mysterious. this event, this dance, this vital occurrence. It has no dimension whatsoever, let alone a higher dimension. There is only this totally mysterious dance, the Great Spirit, the river of life, the unformed ocean of existence. The Asankhita, God, Tao, Atman. Just this, whatever it is, doing what it does. Once again, let me state that whatever is presented here, however I respond to these questions, is merely for your consideration, and it's meant to be considered in relation to your actual experience of life. I'm not saying that you have to see life in this way. It's merely an exploration, a consideration of what our common experience of life actually is, and a consideration of what that common experience actually indicates, what it reveals. And you take from that consideration whatever you take from it. Or that consideration reveals whatever it reveals. I'm not saying it has to go in any particular direction at all. All of this, from my apparent perspective, will simply play out in whatever way it plays out. Always, no matter what is presented or seems to be presented in these talks, from my apparent sense of things, it is a totally inexplicable event simply happening. So this brings us to the end of this group of questions coming through in the month of October. I hope that life presents you in pleasant ways. I know that ultimately it will not. It will not simply be pleasant ways. It will be a mixed bag of things. And that's what is. So till next time, bye.